These are our four profiles, and they are profiles that are in the monograph on measuring vocational maturity. Because the question here is, of what use, of what help can this be to a counselor in working with students? I've already reported that these are, that inventories like this are used in evaluating career ed programs. We do know, for example, that a good career education program raises scores on this kind of measure. That's been demonstrated in quite a number of studies. A good career education program increases the scores, raises the scores on measures of this type. Well, here we have four 10th grade profiles. And if you will look at the first two, those are profiles in which the student scores are obviously different from those in the last two, and especially the fourth profile. Dr. Yardan, in his chapter in the monograph, discussing these career development inventory profiles, says the first two are profiles revealing deficiencies in vocational development, in career development. Because the first individual, as you see, is high in planning orientation, but he is relatively low, a little below average, or just average, in resources for exploration. And he is rather low, quite low, on information and decision making. Disregard the totals, they aren't as much help to us as the specific scales. What we might say about this individual is that he is ready to explore. You see, he's fairly high in his planning orientation. But he really doesn't know very much about how to explore, nor has he acquired much information or much skill in decision making. So a counselor might say of this person, here's somebody who's ready to work with. He should be able to use the exploratory experiences that the school can give him. He may not know that I, the counselor, am a good resource. He doesn't seem to know that the occupational library is a good resource. But he's ready to use them if I bring myself and the occupational library to his attention in the right way. So here's somebody who's ripe for vocational guidance and needs it. Look at individual B. Notice that he's low on planfulness, just at about the 35th percentile, between low and really below average. So he really isn't looking ahead very much, or planning, or thinking much about what's coming up in the way of career development tasks. But he does know a good deal about the resources to use. And he has some information, but not a whole lot. This is a person that may be difficult to reach. He isn't really motivated to use the resources, since he isn't being planful. He's not motivated to use the resources that he knows about. So a different kind of approach is going to need to be used with him. He really has to develop what I would call career awareness. And this is not what the career educators call career awareness. In career education, people aren't talking about careers. They're talking about occupations. And most of what you read or hear about career education is occupational education. Because career awareness as defined by career ed programs is awareness of a good many occupations. That's occupational awareness. Career awareness would be knowing about life stages, knowing what developmental tasks you're likely to confront at a given life stage. And what case two here needs is career awareness in a real sense of the word. He needs to be alerted to the fact that he's going to have to make decisions about courses to take, curricula to sign up for, schools to go to, whether or not to stay in school or to drop out, whether to graduate and go to a job or graduate and go to further training. He needs for these decisions to be made real, and he needs to learn about the importance and the possibility of planning. And then maybe he'll be able to use these resources that he knows something about, and then he'll be able to be interested in acquiring more information and more decision-making skill than he now has. So now let's look at cases three, profiles three and four. They're both reasonably high on planning orientation and on knowledge and readiness to use resources in exploration, or for vocational guidance, if you want to put it that way. But there's a difference otherwise. Profile 3 reveals a moderate amount of information and decision-making skill, principles, but just average, not up to his or her planfulness and resources levels. So this individual has information needs. He's inclined to be planful. He knows what to do, but he hasn't learned some of the things he needs to learn. So here a counselor can recognize exploration in depth may be called for. It may be time really for him to look in more detail into occupations and training opportunities that are relevant for him. If we look at case four, this individual not only is planful and knows pretty well what the resources are, but he also has a good deal of information. So maybe this individual is in the implementation stage, sub-stage. If we think this is a 10th grader, apparently he is really ready to specify, maybe even ready to implement in the exploratory stage. So we may need to help him think about what are the particular training programs among him, which he should choose. Should he start specializing? What should he specialize in? So there are four different kinds of profiles. They probably don't exhaust all the possibilities. But let me ask you a question. Remember last night I talked about the occupational models. Getting aptitude and interest data in order to see how well a person matches an occupation. The traditional vocational guidance practices, the kind that was used a great deal in counseling centers after World War II with veterans coming back from the war, is used in many college counseling centers. Give a student a batch of tests in order to help them talk to him about the results, in order to help him decide on what courses to choose, what occupation to prepare for. Leaving age out for the moment, let's not worry too much about whether this is 10th grade or 12th grade or end of the sophomore year in college. What would you say about the use of the occupational model with profile one? Is this individual ready for a matching process? No. He may be ready to plan, judging by that scale A score, but the other scores are so low, one would hesitate to cope with occupational choice problems in his case. What might be more appropriate? Could one use occupational model data at all? How?
For exploration,
yes. There are still decisions to be made, aren't there? What to explore? And aptitudes and interests would give one cues as to what areas to look into, what to sample, what to explore. Even though one would want it to be in a spirit of exploration rather than a spirit of preparing for a specific field. Of course, one of the problems we run into is that so many school curricula and so many college curricula are geared up for people who've made occupational choices, aren't they? The history professor in college assumes that everybody in his freshman history course is going to be a historian. caricature, if you like, but this tends to be, and psychology profs do the same thing. You assume everybody in your psychology course is going to be a psychologist. And the biology prof does the same thing. And the shop teacher in junior high school usually assumes that the shop that he is teaching is to train people in the skills of that trade, at least at the lowest levels of skill. He doesn't assume that this course is being taken for exploratory purposes to find out whether this really is something of interest and of which the student can do well. So one of the contributions that career education is making, as I see it, is helping people to see that a lot of what is done in the way of decision-making in junior high school is decisions for exploration. And a profile like one or a profile like two alerts us to the fact that in these cases, decisions really should be for exploration. And our job is to help identify what kinds of exploration are most likely to be fruitful so the individual can explore rather than flounder. In a case like four, though, to take the other extreme, I think the answer to my question is already clear to you, and that is this individual is probably ready to explore in depth or maybe even to start preparing, and therefore tests may be used differently. The interpretations that he can make and that we can make of the test data can be a bit more definitive. I don't mean final. After all, he's a 10th grader or a 12th grader or a college sophomore or whatever. So no decisions are final. Lifetime decisions, you know, choosing your life work. That phrase has done vocational guidance more harm than almost anything one can think of. But at least that individual can be thought of as making decisions that involve some commitment. When you decide not to go further in languages in high school, let's say you've taken 2 years of language, and now you're in 11th grade. And do you continue more language, or do you drop foreign language in order to get science? That is a kind of a commitment, isn't it? You're moving in the direction of scientific and technological education, or technical education, not in the direction of humanistic literary education, if you drop languages at that point, except for English, which is required, and concentrate on math and science. Well, the individual with that kind of a profile may be ready to make that kind of decision. And his grades, his statements of preferences, aptitude test scores, interest inventories can be used with some confidence in the case of a profile like this for tentative, if you like, decision-making, but decision-making that involves some commitment. Ginsberg was wrong, and so far as I reflected this thought of his, which I did to a degree, I was wrong in talking about, writing about decisions being irreversible. Irreversible, as he meant it, and I think, and as I meant it, doesn't mean impossible to reverse. It means reversible only at a price.